Well, it probably shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that I'm thinking about rest, seeing as how tomorrow I start 2 weeks of vacation from that other thing I do during the week. Actually, Gordon Cameron was asking me if, after the service at Knox, if I don't consider preaching work. Well, and I don't. Now, this doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a job, but it's not work. Although it can be really hard work sometimes, but it's still not work. It's one of those weird sort of gifting kinds of things. It's like people who are good with kids. They can't explain how it works either, but they're just good with kids. This is something I can do and don't really consider it work. But I still need rest. We all need rest. And often, church people need rest more than anybody else. It might not be as much of an issue here in a somewhat smaller congregation, but in some of those large churches that have got program after program after program, you end up with this very peculiar situation. And having talked to a number of my fellow classmates, some mentors, and even some former students, if you work in Christian education, children's ministry, even youth work, you end up with this very bizarre experience where Sunday after Sunday in the narthex, nobody will make eye contact with you, because they're afraid you're going to ask them to do something on top of what they're already doing. It seems kind of strange. They won't take your phone calls. They won't read emails unless the subject line says, this isn't about volunteering. And it's because, not because they're not interested, it's because they're too busy. They're tired. They're doing so much stuff because people in a community of faith tend to be involved in this community and their other community. Not all, of course, but people have jobs, daytime responsibilities of some sort, and they volunteer in the church. They often volunteer in the community. And they start to get this feeling of being burned out. One of my, and this is as sarcastic as I can make it, one of my favorite false dichotomies is where people will say, I'd rather burn out than rust out. I think, well, if those are the only two options, you've got a really impoverished view of life. You ever seen any of those television commercials about, usually about motor oil or sometimes about automobile manufacturers? And they'll show you these cars that have been going for 800,000 kilometers or 600,000 miles or whatever they are. They didn't burn out or rust out. What those are is an example of what can happen with good maintenance and taking care of things. We don't have to choose as people between burning out and rusting out. I don't want to do either one. I want to keep going for decades yet. Because we're not called to do either one. We're not called to burn ourselves out, of course. And there's nowhere in here where we're in the Bible where we're called to do absolutely nothing. But are we called to be busy all the time? Are we called, and we have to be careful about this one, are we called to live a life much like Jesus lived, where he was constantly ministering? At least that's the way it seems. Well, the answer is no. We'll just cut right to the chase. And we're going to look at two of our passages today, our Old Testament lesson and our Gospel lesson in particular, to see what they have to say to us about whether there's a call upon us to work all the time, to always be busy, to always say yes to everything that needs to be done, to never take time off. In our Old Testament lesson, there's actually two kinds of rest. And we'll start with the second one first, because this is the one we often think we're going to get. And this is in verse 12. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers. Okay, that's not the only kind of rest we get. We don't have to die to get rest. That's not how it works, although often you think so. Have you ever seen that t-shirt, I'll sleep when I'm dead? Well, you know, I've got news for you. You're not going to sleep when you're dead. And you better sleep before or you're going to die sooner. Now let's look at the first use of rest. In the very first verse that was read for us. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. And then it goes on, David speaking to Nathan. The word rest here is very carefully chosen. The writer of this book, presumably Samuel, but we're not entirely sure, but the writer of this book could have said that the Lord had given David a temporary peace from war, which is different than rest. Could have said that the Lord is going to give you a time when you don't have to worry about going out and killing people all of the time. No, he said, I will give you rest from all your enemies. And it's said again in verse 11. I will give you rest from all your enemies. Rest. Rest is important. If people don't get enough rest, they go kind of crazy. I mean, if they don't get enough sleep, they'll eventually go psychotic, which should tell us something. But without enough rest, we're just not like ourselves. We can't be our best selves. Just this past week or the week before, I can't remember which, Neela, who you most of you have met, is a very delightful little child. What you see at church is just what she is. You know, cheerful, all that kind of thing. But every once in a while, something happens, and sure enough, towards the end of the day, suddenly nothing was right. She didn't want to eat what was for supper, she didn't want to play with this, she didn't want to do that. Whatever we brought up, there was something wrong with it, and the answer is just no, no, no. I didn't get it this time, but what I have gotten from her before in similar situations, after I've suggested a few things for her to have as a snack, she says, it doesn't matter, no matter what you say, I won't like. And she sticks to it once. I said, well, how about some chocolate milk? No. So, courage of her convictions, peculiar as they might be. But as we were talking to Neela, we said, look, when you're not yourself, there's really only two things that it can be. Either you're hungry or you're tired. And she said, no, I'm not. Not either one of those things. She wouldn't eat. Finally, she, well, didn't exactly stomp off, but certainly left in a bit of dudgeon. Went upstairs to check on her. She put herself to bed and was completely asleep. Slept in a little bit the next day. And as we were just interacting the next day, about who knows what, she suddenly said to me, Daddy, I know what was wrong with me yesterday. I didn't have enough sleep. I was tired. When we're tired, we're not ourselves. When we're tired, we cannot be at our best. When we flip over to our gospel lesson, what we're encountering here in the first part of the reading is the apostles, Jesus' disciples, are coming back to report after going out on one of their preaching and teaching tours, if you will. Jesus has sent them out, and they're coming back to tell him what happened. And so, there's all kinds of people around. They didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus said to them, come with me, and I'll give you some more work. Oh, no, he didn't say that. Come with me, and I'll put you on another committee. No. He said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We cannot be giving out all the time. We cannot. It's not possible. That's when we will burn out. That's when we will go a little crazy. That's when we will start hating what we're doing, and sometimes hating the people we're doing it with. We have to have rest. We have to sleep a reasonable amount, which virtually no one in North America seems to get. People should sleep somewhere between 7 and 9 hours. Say start at 9, work your way backwards, a quarter of an hour at a time, so you don't feel rested in the morning, and then you go back to a previous quarter of an hour and you'll be about right. Kids, 13, 14, 15 years old, need as much sleep as newborns, because it's the second most dramatic increase of brain development and physical development than when they're first born. Try and tell that to a grade 10. They should be getting 13 or 14 hours of sleep, quite possibly, and you just can't get them to take it. We have to have sleep, but more than that, we have to have rest, because rest isn't just sleeping. Rest is a time for us to recreate. A time for us to become who we are again, to recharge, to do all of these things that if we're too busy, we think we don't need. I came across a fascinating article online a little while ago. There's a a startup company, like a new company, has lots of very devoted employees and they work hard and all that kind of stuff. Everybody, of course, in North America and Europe gets paid vacation. That's just the way it is. It's a legal requirement. This company, on top of your pay for being on vacation, pays you $7,500 to take your vacation, but only if you unplug. You can't check your work email. You can't phone in. You can't work on projects. You have to go. They came up with $7,500 because they figure where they are, I think they're in San Diego or someplace, that will cover a family of four for a week in Mexico. And so then you can come back and take care of the house after that, whatever. But what kind of a world have we got to where sometimes you have to pay people to take vacation? It's because we've come to the conclusion that if we're not busy, we have no worth. As a recovering work addict, not a workaholic in the cutesy little way, a work addict. Work addicts suffer the same fate as cocaine addicts or heroin addicts. Their addiction destroys their life and then it kills them. I read a book called Working Ourselves to Death, and it was, after the Bible, one of the top three most influential books in my life. And it saved my life, realizing that I wasn't somebody who worked a lot because I got a lot of enjoyment out of what I was doing. It's because when I worked, I had a sense of value and I had it no other place. You can't live that way. Nobody can. And one of the reasons why we resist the whole idea of rest is we're afraid that we won't have that value. Well, the Bible tells us over and over again, we have value. We don't have to work to earn it. We have it before anything. Like we said last week, we have ultimate value before the beginning of the world. So we don't have to work for value. But we do have to rest to do the work we want to do and the work we're called to do. Don't you find it just a little bit peculiar, as I do, even though I sometimes forget it, that we, who will work 65 hours a week at our job, who will check our work email at home, and all these other sorts of things, somehow think we don't need rest. When if you look at the first few chapters of the Bible, God, who made us and everything we see and everything we can't see and just made everything, rested. We just skip over that. On the seventh day, God rested. Yeah, yeah, whatever. That's why we have Sunday. That's why we come to church, to work more. No, that's not what's going on. God rested as an example for us that we must rest. We must take time to recharge our batteries to make sure that we can be the very best us we can be. And that doesn't mean that you have to go find a cave somewhere to withdraw from everyone. For an introvert, that's a wonderful thing. Maybe that's wonderfully restful and exactly what they need. For an extrovert, that's misery. I know all kinds of extroverts who rest by inviting people over to play noisy table games, who go to concerts. I rest by doing work in my house, by arranging things, by figuring out where stuff goes, by coming up with the best way to put these things in our house so we can always find them easily. I get tremendous satisfaction out of that kind of thing. It's not work. It's as restful for me as a nap is. And sometimes naps are a good thing. When I was in college, I worked really hard. I came to college a little bit later, felt a little, you know, I wasn't quite sure whether I could actually fit in, whether I could actually do the work. So I worked really hard, and I did quite well. I still had a good time. Well, met Heather, got engaged, got married before I got done, so I obviously wasn't spending all the time in the library. And I remember once we were having a chapel, a very serious chapel, about all based around Psalm 51 and confession of sin and all this kind of stuff. I just fell completely asleep in the middle of it. Like, not just dozing off, but just asleep. And I was really worried. As youngish in the faith, although a little bit older in years, I sought out one of my floor mates. He was in seminary. I was in college. He was in seminary. He was about my age, maybe a little bit older. And I said, you know, I'm really worried. Have I reached some peculiar place in my life where I don't even hear the convicting word, you know, voice of God anymore or anything? He I said, oh my. The Bible tells us, and I still remember saying this, the Bible tells us that God gives his people rest, and sometimes he has to force us to. And that's what it was with me. I needed that. I needed sleep more than I needed to be made to feel guilty about something that maybe I wasn't guilty about at all, because when we're short of sleep, we don't make very good decisions about things either. I needed rest. I didn't need more input. I needed rest. We all need rest. And God says it's okay. It's not just something that he's willing to put up with. Well, if you really need it. If you're that weak that you need rest. No, no, no. Is God weak who rested? Is Jesus weak who rested? Didn't get as much rest as he needed. He had a very particular mission, one that none of us share exactly. Let's not look to Jesus for our work rhythms, but let's look to the people he called. And let's remember that Jesus is the one who said, let's go and get you some rest. Whether rest is a vacation, whether it's a couple of weeks away, whether rest is a nap, going to a movie and laughing, or getting involved in the intricacies of the plot, listening to music, reading a book, talking to your friends, your family, whatever it is, those things that recreate you, that re-energize you, that rebuild you are absolutely critical, and you must do them. There is no virtue in working yourself to death. There's no virtue in working and volunteering so much that you start disliking what you're doing. It's often virtuous to take a few days away just for yourself. Because it's not just for yourself. If you need more of a reason, when you take that time, whatever it is for you that recharges that inner sense of yourself, aren't you so much more yourself? And aren't you so much more valuable and friendly and loving and wonderful to all the people around you? You don't take vacation just for yourself. You don't get rest just for yourself. You get rest for everyone around you. How do you know you put off your vacation too long? When you mention you're taking a couple of weeks off to your coworkers and they say, oh good. You could use it. And you start thinking, I don't think I've been as effective for the last little while. And that's exactly what happened to me. I probably should have taken a couple of weeks off a month ago. It happens. But we take it when we can, when we can make it fit. And sometimes we have to make it fit. Allow yourself to rest. Listen to God's call upon you to rest. To rest in Him. To rest, to recreate, to rebuild, to re-energize, all of those things in whatever you need to do. And they're not a source of guilt. They should never be a source of guilt for you. But another opportunity to thank God that you have that opportunity. It's hard for us to step away. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that things will continue on as well when we're not there. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if we don't get enough rest, we won't be there very long. Are we allowed to rest ever? Yes. We are allowed to rest. We're allowed to do those things that fill our spirits with joy and help us to do those things that we are called to do. We all have responsibilities, but rest is what allows us to do them in a way that brings glory to God, that is energizing and valuable to us and to those around us. Without rest, eventually we'll just wind down. We'll be useless to those around us and to ourselves. Take the time to rest. Whatever that is for you, whenever, and however. And know that when we do, God's smiling. He's not glaring at us. And for some of us, he's saying, finally, you need some time off. Amen.